Hello everyone, and welcome once again to Dark Natter, the podcast where we carefully unpeel your favourite works of dark fiction. I'm John Richter, and standing in for Liam on this episode due to a scheduling conflict, we have...
It's me, Hayden Killian.
Ah, and who are you, Hayden?
I am... friend of Dark Natter podcast.
A friend of the show.
Absolutely privileged. I'm a huge fan. I'm just happy to be here. Thanks. As I say here, we're in my house.
And thanks for coming on in an emergency. But don't worry, it's going to work out really well. What are we here to talk about?
Well...
Oh yeah, I've not explained the concept or anything.
Sorry,
I should probably do that first. So we, of course, are here to talk about your pitch for a dark fiction concept to me, and I will be the sole judge in Liam's absence of whether that dark fiction work is suitable to be admitted entry into the hallowed halls of the Hall of Pain. Oh, Liam normally would do a laugh there. That's it! See? It's great natural!
Getting there.
I don't think we need him back. I'll let him know. Don't worry. Maybe if I just put this on air, he'll find out, won't he, when this is
done. He probably doesn't listen to it.
Yeah, he's right, actually. I don't think he's ever listened to a single show. There must be another way we can reach him. Does he have a phone? Anyway. Okay, well, that's the preamble done and dusted. What are you here to pitch today, Hayden Killian?
Well, I don't read books ever, so that ruled that out. I never watch films. I don't even have time to play computer games anymore, but I used to play computer games. So I've gone back through history, and I've picked out a gem, Mortal Kombat.
Whoa, that is a franchise that has, stood the test of time in the sense that it's still hanging around after ages. But probably a slightly different question to whether it's any good or not. But that's what we're here to unravel.
That's what I'll prove to you today.
So Mortal Kombat is primarily known as a video game franchise.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah.
And one of my favourites too. I used to flipping love those games.
Started off in the 16-bit era, 8-bit era, I think. I think I remember Mortal Kombat coming out on the Sega Master System, but I had a Nintendo NES, so that... console didn't get the game.
Could you get it on the
Master System? Only 6 characters, I believe, though, not the full roster of 7.
I didn't know that, because if you'd have asked me as a layman,
Mega Drive,
I'd have said Mega Drive.
Yeah, I think those are the classic versions.
Because I remember our mutual friend Dave Roberts had it on the SNES, and I used to, because I'm horrible, I used to sort of taunt him because there was no blood in it.
No blood, yeah.
Which was odd.
I had the Game Boy version.
Wow.
That was the only version that I could get of Mortal Kombat 1. I remember Liam had the Master System version, or he borrowed the Master System version. He had access to the Master System version anyway. But it didn't really start for me until Mortal Kombat 2 came out on the Mega Drive.
Oh yeah, that was. I feel like that was the one. So I think a lot of us bought Mortal Kombat, which just to cover the specifics, Mortal Kombat was released in 1992. Okay. You could play in the arcades, of course, as well. And then on an array of home consoles, as I've just learned. Subsequent entries, the list is massive, and I'm not going to bore you by reading them all out, because there's
a huge load.
Jesus, it went on.
Recently
and on,
released Mortal Kombat 11, isn't it? That's the newest entry, but there are also countless spin-offs, so...
I always think of Mortal Kombat 1 as being kind of, seminal. Mm. Mortal Kombat 2 as being... Well, we'll come to that, but I guess, spoiler, for me, that was like the peak. That's the one I remember the most fondly. Mortal Kombat 3 was kind of still a big deal. Mm. And then it started to kind of get... we had the movie at this point. So this is where it started. It became such a big thing that it kind of transcended its video game boundaries. Interesting entry in the series, the movie. We'll come to that. Also 1995, same year as the third game. Then we have a million spin-offs and sequels.
Yeah, various different genres covered, some more successful than others.
And then in recent years, there's been, in effect, a quite effective reboot.
Yeah, I would say so.
2011's Mortal Kombat, which is also something known as Mortal Kombat 9. Since then, there's been a very successful Mortal Kombat 10, and very recently released Mortal Kombat 11, which I did buy. Actually.
I've got Mortal Kombat 11 as well.
It's alright, isn't it?
Stunning return to the series, I think. But yeah, I've missed out a fair few in between.
I don't reckon we've missed much. But if you are intrigued by any of the middle entries and you were expecting this podcast to cover them, sorry.
I'm really sorry.
We can't be bothered.
You're probably expecting Liam to be here as well, but you know, you got me, so.
That's true. Yeah, if Liam was here, he'd probably
know
all
of
them. All.
Of course he would have.
Maybe we could phone him. Should you phone him up? Get him in. That's actually not a bad idea. Anyway, so
brings a new meaning to the term "phoned in."
Hey, that's good. More of that, please. Yeah, jokes, they come very rarely on this show.
I've listened.
and yet you led me in your home, ill-advised. So, Mortal Kombat, the first game.
Yes.
You had it on the Game Boy. Which
yeah,
must have been what like
punishing.
Blocks of
yeah,
pixels.
Not great. Jumping. I mean, I think they did a decent enough job with what they had. Obviously, all Game Boy conversions of any home console game are going to be an approximation at best. But it wasn't too bad. But I did look longingly into the arcade machine, wishing that I had that blood. And there was no blood or guts. Yeah. It was a Nintendo console, so like the SNES version, there was no blood, no guts,
and
no
one thing
fatalities.
We should talk about is the massive, in retrospect, laughable in some ways, but at the time it was really controversial. So
oh God,
when
yeah.
there was a very live debate about violence in video games, mm-hmm. and this, a bit of a stretch, but arguably was the first time that gore had been realistically depicted.
Yeah, I think it's probably to do with a kind of a combination of the kind of digitized humans, actors in the game, captioning the game, as well as the kind of gratuitous violence that
said crap actors
yeah. simulated toward each other.
If we can find out who played the character, not the voices, or certainly not the actors in the movie, because you know those guys were big time, but the FMV actors.
I think they went on to play other digitized video game characters.
Brilliant. What a great job. How'd you get that job? Maybe that could be.
You have to just be really unsuccessful in what you want to do.
Pick up online.
And then eventually get sucked in.
So yeah, so this was the first time we'd seen
acrobats. People. I imagine most of them were acrobats because they could all do a front flip.
That's true. And a fireball.
And could be uppercutted through the air. Down into a pair of spikes.
That's true. Yeah, they were pretty talented, to be honest. I should probably stop taking the piss out of them. They couldn't beat me up. So yeah, it was people. It was vicious uppercuts, you know, punches, kicks, roundhouse kicks, smacks, bone crunching smacks, blood flying everywhere.
I mean, it gets compared a lot to Street Fighter, doesn't it? They were the two kind of big 2D beat-em-ups of the era of the 90s. Most people argue, probably quite rightly so, that Street Fighter is technically the better of the two fighters. But I think as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old...
You were just like, yeah, there's no blood in it, mate.
Yeah, you just want the blood.
Yeah, I was exactly
vicious,
the same. I was a
vicious
Mortal Kombat fan, massive Mortal Kombat
horrific.
Fan at the time. Street Fighter has lots of very different characters who play differently. It's got the famous Ryu and Ken, but then you've got...
E-Honda.
E-Honda, you know...
Blanka.
Fat bloke with the rapid hand movements. You've got Black Electric Monster, what do we call it? And they all play
a bit harsh, but
they all act differently, you know? Whereas Mortal Kombat, basically everyone's the same. They just look different, and they have different special moves.
Yeah, there's less kind of
less variety
in the kind of weight and feel of the characters.
Yeah,
it
was like if you master one, you've kind of mastered them all. They're all a bit interchangeable. But what Mortal Kombat did bring is its USP. If it wasn't necessarily its gameplay variety and depth, it was horrible blood and guts.
Yeah.
And to really sell that, it was the concept of fatalities. You know, finish him became imprinted on the popular culture, didn't it?
Really sick.
Anything that was just to finish off on the kind of controversy angle, there was a real, and there still remains to this day, some elements of the media that are politically still pushing for this, is that video games are blamed for real life violent acts, particularly when they're committed by young men who happened to own that game.
Yeah.
Like Night Trap on the Mega CD, that was the other one I remember getting bandied around as being really controversial.
Recently got that, actually. It's quite...
Is it any good?
No.
Oh, did you? It's rubbish.
Not at all.
Have you committed any violent acts since playing it?
Only...
No more than usual.
No more than
usual.
No, it didn't. There was no upsurge in my normal level of...
I mean, that's why Liam's not here. He's actually been incarcerated because he killed again. And I'm pretty sure he has been playing Mortal Kombat lately, so maybe we can draw some...
He was supposed to do this podcast, so hopefully he'd been playing it.
I think he committed the crime to get out of it. So we won't go into lots of depth on that old controversy. my view is obviously that you can't, you know, censorship is inherently morally wrong and people should be allowed to make their own decisions. I have played violent, grotesque video games since I was a little kid, and I'm only a bit weird.
Yeah.
So I think it's, to me, it's a load of, you know, storm in a teacup kind of thing.
It probably was just, yeah, publicity they wanted, though, wasn't it, really? I mean, here we are still talking about it now.
That's very true.
And they're still shoveling those games out, so.
It's something worked somewhere.
Something worked somewhere.
So fatalities were, for anyone who doesn't know, or for everyone who doesn't know, we're going to tell you anyway, yep. You have defeated your opponent in a best of three
best contest. Of three rounds. And third round or second round if you're particularly good. You get to the point where you've got all of their energy down to bar down to zero. Instead of that just being a normal KO, like in a normal video game, you get the chance to finish them or essentially just kill them.
Yeah, genuinely murdered them.
In a quite creative but horrible way.
And of course, it was a real, you know, they would come back again anyway.
They would do.
It didn't matter. So it's led
to. Well, sometimes they would fight each other, so I guess there's multiple of them.
Absolute nonsense. Like, sort of multiverse shenanigans.
Can we remember seven characters in the original Mortal Kombat? Can we remember the seven original fatalities for the original characters? We do one each.
Great idea. Okay. I will go Kano,
yep.
With, oh, I mean, this is a debate in itself, but arguably the horriblest one. He would just reach into his, sorry, let's do a little bit about the characters.
Okay, well. Sorry, yeah.
Kano, as I recall, was, well, he's now Australian, canonically. I don't know if he was Australian back in the day.
Never heard enough of him.
Yeah, he didn't talk a lot,
on my Game Boy.
Because he didn't have voices. But yeah, he's got some sort of infrared eye implant.
He's got a problem with his eye.
He's got something with his eye. I think he had hair in those days. He chucks knives around like there's no tomorrow.
I think he always had like a bald patch though. They managed to digitize sort of like
an aging mercenary. So he's, yeah.
I was happy to see that he'd gone full. He was like hired, in Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, well, no, Mortal Kombat 3.
He wasn't in Mortal Kombat 2.
He was one of the ones who they beamed off and then he made a big comeback.
He was on the background, wasn't he, with Sonya?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember now. It's all coming back to me.
So he was, a gun, hired gun who didn't have any guns.
Yeah,
and his finisher was he would reach into your chest and pull your still beating heart out. Grim.
Okay,
so there's a start. That'll be tough to top, but it is toppable because I reckon there's an arguably more iconic finisher in that game.
I think there is, but I'm not going to go.
Sorry, I went too early with a big one. cover some of the crap ones.
So Johnny Cage is an actor. Hollywood actor.
Is he the best character in it?
Yeah, he's got a lot of character.
He's funny, isn't he?
He is funny.
A big head.
Yeah.
Like an egotistic.
Conceited.
Yeah. Braggart.
Sunglasses wearing.
Chump.
Man.
Gent.
I believe his original fatality was just a straight uppercut head off. Is that?
Yeah, uppercut their head off.
Yeah, like a normal standard uppercut, but their head would fly. Their body would stay in position and their head would just. Psh, fly up.
Pewing off.
Yeah.
Is it Mortal Kombat 1 where there was a special cheat where you could uppercut their head off over and over again and multiple heads
that
would
does
fly
sound,
around?
Yeah. Well, that might be Mortal Kombat 2 because he retained that fatality for Mortal Kombat 2.
And we'll come to that in a bit, but Mortal Kombat is renowned for it being riddled with secrets, secret moves, unlockable things, and some of them really dead weird.
Yeah.
The multiple. Glitch ridden. Yeah, really buggy. Mm. Yes, we'll come back to that point. So Johnny Cage, that's good.
Yeah,
I'll have Raiden, who is a series staple.
Thunder God.
So yeah, they've got the Lord Raiden, played in the movie by Christopher Lambert. Excellent. Of course.
Excellent cast.
Yeah, perfectly cast as the God of Thunder, but not Odin. So just as a quick diversion, he has got one of those big, wide-brimmed. I'm going to say
lampshade.
clearly, in fact, also his thunder god capabilities clearly inspired. And when I say inspired, I mean ripped off out of the movie. My favorite movie of all time, Big Trouble in Little China.
Did that make him your favorite character in the game?
No, because that's Kano. Because he's really horrible and it's funny. And he does loads of like Aussie puns now. He's a good laugh. Yeah, Raiden. Big Trouble in Little China. Big inspiration for the movie. Mm. And we'll maybe come back to that, to some of the inspirations, but that is the single biggest one. If you watch Big Trouble in Little China back,
Yep.
If you are a Mortal Kombat fan and just count the number of things they've lifted from it, it's the creators of Mortal Kombat must have been big fans. Those creators, of course, were John Tobias and Ed Boon.
Ed Boon, yeah.
Who famously, I don't know, referenced themselves in one of these, the many, many secrets that we talked about. This is Mortal Kombat 2 territory, featured a character called Noob Saibot, which is Tobias Boon backwards, which is a nice
clever.
Clever, very clever.
Clever.
And somehow that character is still going and has become like canonical.
A shadow, wasn't he? A shadow of a ninja.
A ninja, but like in the dark. So, sorry, I went off on a bit of a
tangent. Yeah, he never told us Raiden,
he did a electrocute them, so I'll pick them up and channel his electrical powers through them until their head exploded.
Popped, yeah.
Okay. As I recall.
I think that's pretty much how it went down.
Yeah.
Okay, back to me. I'm going to say, I'm going to go for Scorpion.
Who is Scorpion? Tell us about Scorpion.
Scorpion is a ninja, one of the two ninjas in Mortal Kombat 1.
Because they had the ingenious idea that, shit, we've not got many characters, and it's getting a bit expensive, this project. How can we pad it out? We desperately need some filler.
Yeah.
The publishers told us that six characters isn't enough, so they just use the same character twice, and there's a blue one and a yellow one.
Easy. The storyline, remember their storyline though?
So this has been retconned shitloads, but if I remember rightly, Scorpion is dead and is now the sort of hellish spectre of his former self.
Yep.
He's the yellow one.
Yes.
So he's all fire, brimstone, hellish, you know.
Skeleton of, face.
The, got a skeleton face under the mask, which the mask, brilliantly, is... So both Sub-Zero and Scorpion, the blue one and the yellow one, have a mask obscuring the lower half of their face. You can only see their eyes, which is kind of cool.
Yep, like an ninja.
Like a ninja mask.
Well, I call it a ninja mask, but is that because I've just played Mortal Kombat? Is that...
Yeah, did ninjas have their masks
before that?
Did they have...
They must have, yeah.
Fireballs, check. They definitely had fireballs.
Yeah, they did. They did.
We
definitely did.
Please write in. Let us know if we've got that wrong. And apologies to any ninjas that are listening.
They definitely did.
If you misunderstood. But... visible above the face mask is obviously their eyes, their frowning, serious eyes.
Brow.
And yet, Scorpion's frowning, serious eyes were part of the mask, mask because he was just a skeleton underneath.
A mask on a mask.
That's brilliant.
A masked mask.
A masked man. So, okay.
But the eye holes must have been real because they showed his white, soulless eyes.
Pupilless, sort of, oh yeah, grim. What was his finisher?
There was something about he killed... Sub-Zero killed all his family?
Yeah, he's a vengeful spirit who is pursuing Sub-Zero, who is some sort of, I don't know, reprehensible, immoral ice bloke?
Yeah,
Isomancer?
Cold man.
Yeah! So Sub-Zero is just a bloke. He's not a vengeful spectre, monster, demon. He's just a fella.
Yeah.
But he, for some reason, has the power to command ice.
Yeah.
And shoot ice blocks. I mean, that was one of the best things in the game. You could freeze your opponent, so they were just helplessly stuck, frozen. You just walk up to them, smash them in the face.
His fatality, anyway, Scorpion's fatality, was he would remove his mask.
And its mask.
Okay, peel off all his masks to reveal a skull, face, and then he would breathe fire at his opponent's feet and immediately send them up in flames.
And it made that noise, didn't it?
And they would just... And then their bones would just drop down.
Yeah, crumble to ash.
Crumble. Interesting you mentioned the freezing move, because I always thought Sub-Zero's freeze special move was the best special move in the game.
Yeah.
Some people favour the, come here, from Scorpion, the harpoon.
Wasn't it, in Mortal Kombat 1, wasn't it, get over here?
It was, get over here.
And then they changed it to, come here! And then various iterations.
Sorry, the get over here.
I think that's because... we were still in an era of gaming where we were fascinated and amused by speech samples because it was still quite rare and, I don't know, expensive to get hold of somehow.
Well, I guess as well, they both do the same thing to the character, but Scorpion's one pulls them closer to...
Yeah, they both enable you to administer an uppercut, which is the most devastating move in the game by a mile.
Yeah.
But, and really satisfying to do, just looks great. But yeah, Scorpion's had that speech sample, like, get over here! Which, I'm not sure which part of America he's from, being a Japanese ghost. Yeah, sorry, yeah. The suburbs of hell where they talk like that.
Anyway, yeah, so I thought the reason why he dresses the same way as Sub-Zero in yellow was to mock him, because yellow's the cowardice colour.
I think that that was a storyline somewhere.
He donned a Sub-Zero imitation outfit, but yellow to mark him as a coward. That's brilliant.
Whatever clan, I can't remember what they're called now.
Oh, the Lin Kuei.
The Lin Kuei.
Lin Kuei.
Yeah, he's dressed like a Lin Kuei in a yellow. Unless I've just made that up.
Well, I remember, apologies, this is a bit lowbrow, there was a lot of, so this is an era before the internet, before Google, we're old men.
Yep.
You had to rely on your mate at school for information, or, you know, Games Master.
Yeah, Games Master.
So there was a lot of bullshit being talked around the playground about these games. My favourite one was that in Street Fighter, we talked about Blanka earlier, the sort of monster, disfigured monster, electric, kind of sort of ape-like, weird dude. My school friend, who I suppose I shouldn't name, he was absolutely adamant that there was a secret spin-off version of Blanka who was blue called Wanker. Honestly.
Has that been disproven?
I suppose you never know. They're still finding secrets, aren't they? Buried in the code. Maybe Wanker is out there. I can't remember what any of his moves were. But honestly,
I don't want to know what any of his moves are, to be honest.
No one does.
I hope he is out there somewhere, hidden in the code somewhere. Well, I guess probably that's why I think Mortal Kombat makes a good Dark Natter pitch, is because it has this kind of unique aspect of it was kind of pre-internet, and there's not really much going on in terms of a story line threading through the game. I mean, you can kind of read it in the manual and you get bits and pieces here, but a lot of it was that kind of playground. I remember that kind of playground folklore of how to do fatalities, what this person means, what this person does, who.
Because nowadays in a modern beat 'em up, you'll get a move list. You just pause again and have a look at the move list. In Mortal Kombat, you didn't have one, so you had to just figure them out. Which, let's face it, no one could be asked to do that.
Oh, I remember that copy of Games Master with all the fatalities printed in. Was
people were handing out photocopies of that at school. Beautiful. There was an industry of people were sort of enterprising youngins were photocopying the fatalities list and then flogging it for like 10p or whatever. Brilliant. So we've covered, I think, four fatalities. Three left. Are we scraping the barrel? Well, I'll tell you that clearly the worst one was Liu Kang's fatality.
Yeah.
So Liu Kang was, we talked about things this game ripped off shamelessly, mainly Big Trouble in Little China. It also shamelessly ripped off Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Basically having him as a character in the game, although he's called Liu Kang. Although I remember arguing with a lad at school who was adamant that his name was Louis Kang.
No.
Clearly spelled L-I-U.
Liu.
I'm not over it. I'm still. Are you saying it's pronounced Liu Kang?
I would say Liu Kang.
Yeah. Really? So I was potentially wrong?
Well,
have I been saying it wrong all these years?
How do you say it again?
Liu Kang.
Liu. Probably Liu is how you Kang. Pronounce it. I don't know.
Sounds legit to me. Liu.
Liu.
Bruce Kang. That's what you should call it.
Liu Lee.
So he was ace, and he made loads of exaggerated Bruce Lee style noises. Wah! Like flew across the screen, flurry of kicks, fireballs. Probably the best character in the game.
He was quick.
Very quick and sort of hard to
pin up.
Keep up with.
Had to pin down.
Had to beat in a race. Kicking grace. His fatality was rubbish. Mm. Like, he's just ran out of budget, basically. So he just did a spinning kick that, as I recall, didn't even cause any blood to come out.
No.
And then just a big uppercut.
Just
as,
yeah.
So, which, it didn't knock him up off the screen.
Yeah.
But then he just landed and that was it. The only good thing about that was if you did that finisher on the pit level,
you get the pit, you get all the trappings of the pit,
correct,
included.
So suspended above a spiked pit on a very flimsy looking narrow stone walkway.
Yeah.
If you did that finisher, they would fall into the pit, land on the spikes. That was pretty cool. But crap finisher.
Mortal Kombat did have stage specific fatalities. We haven't mentioned that yet.
Of course. Although I think on the original it was just the pit.
Just the pit.
But imagine being imagine not knowing that.
Mm.
Playing the game the first time, finish him. You don't know the finisher, you just do it a standard uppercut and they fall miles and miles down into pit spikes. That would
be on
cloud nine.
You'd be really happy.
You would that, wouldn't you? Oh.
Not doing a fatality. They're hard. Some of them are hard to do.
I wish I was 10 again. We can
still play the game.
Should we have a game on it?
We probably should have done before we started this podcast.
Then we might remember these fatalities. So that's right, Liu Kang.
My go. I've got two left, is that right?
That's correct.
It's either Sonya. Or the one I'm assuming yours is the best. I'll let you have that one.
Can I have that one?
So, Sonya.
Sonya Blade.
Sonya Blade is a
SAS military woman?
Yeah, general or something?
General?
I can't remember what her rank was.
She's a high up in the army.
She was wearing like camouflage military coloured clobber.
Yeah, and a baseball cap.
Not in the first one.
No.
No, in the first, she's got like a really old fashioned like 80s haircut and like a bandana.
Yeah.
But it's almost commendable that they had a female character in a game back then, and instead of being overtly sexualized and wearing sort of skimpy clothes with, you know, disproportionate, I've forgotten what the word is that means your body, and this is definitely going to get edited out. Disproportionate anatomy. There you go. Jesus, I am old. She was, you know, fairly realistically proportioned, and her move set wasn't sort of too gratuitously feminine. But then her fatality sadly messed all that up.
Yeah, she let herself down, didn't she? Because she kissed them.
Blows them a kiss.
Oh, that was it, yeah, because I couldn't remember which one it was. Yeah, the Mortal Kombat one, she blows a kiss, which does a massive loop.
Yeah,
correct. You see the kiss loop in the air. How is the kiss depicted? It's not a fireball, it's like a heart?
I think it's like a pink... I'm not sure if it's a pink, heart in my head, it's just a pink...
Pink dots.
I'm not sure.
Something pink, anyway. Yeah. There's a big whoop, loops round, and then just sets them on fire.
Rubbish.
Lits them on fire.
So it's like, up to this point, she's been a relatively credible military-trained personnel member.
If you read her character description, you wouldn't know she was a woman. There's no reason to know that, because she's just a hard military bastard.
And then at the very last minute, they're like, oh, she's a woman, she should have to do a sexy kiss. Yeah, just annoying rubbish. So she does that.
And then one more.
And then lucky for me, I get to talk about the best one. Because the aforementioned ice-cold assassin and literally ice-cold ice-wielding isomancer, Sub-Zero, you would think with all that ice going on, he'd have an ice-based finisher. Nope, he just pulls his opponent's head off with their entire spinal column dangling out the bottom of their bleeding neck stump. And this was enough to send a generation of school... I'm going to say schoolboys. I hope there are some female fans from the age, but it was a largely male pursuit at the time. Mm-hmm. And we all thought it was the best thing ever in the world ever when Sub-Zero pulled someone's head off. And I'm pleased to say, I very recently went to a work-based bowling event, like a social get-to-know-your-team-members thing. And instead of getting to know any of my team members, I just spent the whole thing playing on the Mortal Kombat 1 arcade machine. And I remembered from just memory how to do that finisher. Back forward, down forward, punch. Unbelievable. I don't know whether I should be proud or really embarrassed about that.
You don't have any work colleagues, do you, Dave? You just went to the arcade.
And they were all in my mind. And all of them have no heads now.
Great, yeah. That fatality is probably worth mentioning. It was kind of almost singled out as being the kind of the worst one, to the point where it was censored in Mortal Kombat 2. Because in Mortal Kombat 2, they had multiple fatalities, so there was different moves. Mm-hmm. But I seem to remember Sub-Zero's, one of them was his original spinal cord rip. The screen went black, and you couldn't...
Was that a joke, though?
Maybe.
Like, almost like a reference? Like, oh, you can do the spine rip. Oh, no, you can't.
It was the kind of... hijinks they would get up to.
Pretty grim, to be honest, wasn't it?
In my school, they said it was censored. I don't know what your playground said.
Passed. We were all literally pulling each other's spines out by then, to be honest. Wigan. Most of them didn't survive. The only one who lived. One other aspect of this podcast is that we drink beer during the recording, so we're going to go and get some. We'll be right back after these messages. We're back.
Please.
So the other aspect of Mortal Kombat 1 that we should probably touch on is the fact that they spell combat with a K.
They do.
Because that's cool, innit?
Yeah, it's defining.
makes it cooler. And the
is that cooler with a K?
Exactly. Yeah. You get it.
I heard it.
So they really, really milked this K instead of C thing. So everything in the game, to this day... Still any opportunity they've got to lob a K at you, they'll do Conquer with a K. Crypt, the Crypt.
Of course, the Crypt.
The Crypt.
What else was there?
There's loads, and I annoyingly can't think of any.
Coins?
Coins is a thing in there, yeah. Capital K, coin. Capital K?
Capital K.
Capital C. A capital C, which is a K. I don't understand how letters work. This is why no one will give me a real job. You can apply it to anything. Oh, look, I'm sat on a chair. I'll just show up and drink this can.
If you shout it, that's okay. Yeah, that's how you speak.
If you shout "ker," it's clearly okay.
Oh dear.
So yeah. There's that. Yeah. And there's also a plot, isn't there? Mortal Kombat has a story.
There is. You have to look for it. It's not.
You mean it's like lore? It's deeply buried lore.
It's not in your face. But there is a reason why they're all fighting in this tournament.
It's a tournament.
It's a tournament. Yeah, sorry. It's a death-based
They've
tournament.
Assembled the world's best seven fighters. You would think you'd go eight, wouldn't you, for a simple quarterfinal?
Someone's got to buy. Yeah, an even number would have made more sense. They're all from Earth?
Scorpions from...
Hell.
The lower part of Earth. But yeah, I think so.
Earth's hell.
I think, as I remember, Shang Tsung, who is the evil old sorcerer
bearded
who's
man
running the tournament, who again is ripped off from Big Trouble in Little China. He looks just like David Lo Pan when he's in his old man
shapeshifter
form. So ultimately you fight him at the end. You can't play as him, but you can fight him in a single player
against
campaign.
Him
and he has the ability to transform into the other characters,
all of them, so he can do all the special moves
because his own moves are quite shit.
Just that sort of standing fireball in ones, twos or threes.
I think it's skulls, aren't they? Like
flaming
skulls.
Yeah.
But that's all he's got in his arsenal. He's a bit of rubbish. But before Shang Tsung, we get his, are we saying, body mate?
Heavy.
Heavy, his muscle.
His bagman.
Who is Shang Tsung's bagman?
Well, I call him Goro.
See, again, I've
but
always
you,
said
but
Goro.
But I heard you mention Goro earlier, which sounds more plausible.
Like Zorro. But a bit slower.
Gory Goro?
Yeah, that Goro sounds makes Goro. A lot more sense than you mean. Goro was, if I remember rightly, a massive, muscly bloke with four arms.
Yeah, but if you look really closely, he was made of clay.
Was it someone, an actor, they found a four-armed
I found that a bit troubling about Goro, that I understand the concept, that it's digitised people, they're all actors, but he was clearly... Like a stop motion Wallace and Gromit style.
Cracking toast Shang. Yeah, he was.
Which I think sort of undermined his credibility.
But his moves did shitloads of damage. Massive big uppercuts. He could pick you up and smash you on the floor. He had his own level.
He did Goro's Lair.
Goro's Lair, yeah. That was a scary. I mean, he didn't do
bland,
well with the place, did he? It
was
four
area.
Skeletons. He didn't even clean up after himself. What a mess.
You fought Shang's son in the same. Background.
I don't remember.
I think he was down and knocking around in the lair as well. So
he
was
his own lair, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Maybe he was just looking around visiting Goro when you show up.
I'm gonna
just
see.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh no. Deal with this, Goro. Oh, you've lost. Oh, I'll have to do it myself.
You couldn't do a fatality on Goro.
Correct. You couldn't do one on Shang Tsung either.
No, because I guess you're so happy that you just beat the game, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true. You could stop. They were easy to win, weren't they, games back in the day? Completing a game used to take you, what, an hour? Now, I'm playing Dark Souls 3 at the moment. I've been on it for a month. I'm nowhere near. It's dead hard.
I've been trapped in this hell for a month.
Yeah,
games were better in the old days, weren't they?
Just less of a commitment.
More fun.
Yeah.
Because you could play them again.
Yeah, it wasn't like, thank God that's over, I'm definitely never putting that on ever again.
Lock it away, put it in the bin, please.
It used to be like, oh, let's play that was good, I remember that fondly. Oh, and sorry, we forgot to mention, Shang Tsung, his motivation for arranging this tournament is that for some reason, he has to win 10 in a row, like Rangers, versus Celtic. If he does...
Got it, got the reference.
Sorry. Clearly, we want the Earth Realm to win, because if Shang Tsung wins the tournament, woo! He gets to invade the Earth Realm,
and we're all
get flaming skulls.
Yeah, what happens to us all? He beats us all in a one-on-one contest.
He fights us all one after the other. It takes ages. It becomes a really long game.
He never really kind of You just don't want him. He's not a nice bloke, is he?
He's a baddie.
A baddie.
Catchphrase
a baddie.
Well, you can do it as well, can't you? Because you're from Gloucester.
I am from the same place, yeah.
But you said baddie more normally then.
I'm not trying to put it over.
I'm not as from Gloucester.
I'm trying to get his shit in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Baddie.
Yeah, Liam, if you were here, this would have been a great opportunity for you to say
this would have been a much better podcast because you...
That t-shirt we were going to have printed, we're still doing it. I've been touched. It's a gold mine.
I'm not coming back ever. This is a one time only for me, I think. Anyway.
That's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Then, the following year, actually, they churned out a sequel very quickly because of its massive success. Mm-hmm. But the sequel felt, genuinely, at the time, felt like a huge expansion.
Big step up. 12 characters.
Yeah.
We touched on it before. Two omissions gone from the first one. No more Sonya and no more Kano.
Yeah.
So five of the originals and then...
A load of extras.
Whopping seven brand new a playable Shang Tsung.
Yeah, so Shang Tsung was playable, so that makes sense.
Looked completely different.
They introduced Baraka, the fanged, monstrous, sort of Wolverine-esque blade-armed
kind of
who was cool.
Pointy tooth. What, there's a name for the...
The Tartakans. I don't know why they sounded Scottish. I think because maybe it's it sounds a bit like tartan. My brain got neurons misfired.
Wasn't Melina one of them as well?
She was like a good-looking one who kept the teeth hidden under a mask.
Mask again, see? Female ninjas this time.
They've expanded
the roster of women.
Yeah.
Sonya's gone and she's been replaced by Melina and Katana.
And while Melina was, you were correct, some sort of befanged monstrosity, Katana was a nice princess? Yeah, princess.
Or queen?
And she had like a fans gimmick, fans.
She used to lob fans around.
Whereas Melina had a sigh, I think.
She had
a lot of fans.
She had an uncanny ability to manipulate fans.
Yeah, she could do a lot with them.
That was her move.
She invested a lot of time in
fans. And she could make people levitate with them.
She was like a fanomancer.
She's the first character I ever completed Mortal Kombat 2 with.
Really?
I struggled to complete Mortal Kombat 2 for ages.
It's dead hard. That's hard. Especially the final
And race. I just, picked her. Never played as her ever. What?
Who else was in it? Reptile.
Reptile. A third. We didn't talk about him being a secret character in Mortal Kombat 1.
Secret character in Mortal Kombat 1. So, of course, famously, you could unlock Reptile somehow. I can't remember how.
You'd have to look to the Luna.
The clues were in the moon. Very clever. Yeah, in the pit level, the moon was in the background with clouds floating past while ace music.
You had to get a double flawless fatality.
And there were sometimes like little clues flowing past in the clouds.
Fatality is the key.
Brilliant. You could unlock Reptile. So he was only you couldn't play as him, just fight him.
In the pit.
At the bottom of the pit. Brilliant idea. So he was a Sub-Zero Scorpion, that same graphic, but this time he was a green one.
It's almost like they've merged the colour palette together. Like
they accidentally... So in Mortal Kombat 2, he was playable and they greatly expanded on Reptile and they made him more reptilian and acid-y.
Acid-based.
Spit.
Reptile. Reptilian.
Venomous.
Ninja, but with a green.
Don't worry, we won't list every fatality, but I will mention that Reptile would pop his mask off. Mm-hmm. Also Scorpion style, a mask on a mask.
Yeah.
Because beneath his masked mask... was a lizard's head.
Yeah.
And he would eat his opponent in a series of chunks using his frog-like extendable tongue, which is cool.
I forgot about that one, yeah.
Who else was in it? Go on. We're doing well. Jax.
Oh, Jax.
Major Jackson Briggs.
He worked with Sonya, didn't he? He was there to...
I
think he was there to recon Sonya because she didn't come back from Mortal Kombat 1.
She was there to apprehend Kano because he was a... She's a, I don't know, bounty hunter or a US military representative. Kano was on their wanted list as an Aussie
keep pushing
general.
His heritage.
Galah. Dave buggered off for some reason. Can't remember why. Jax has turned up to try and recover Sonya. And he was just a big muscle man. And at this stage, weirdly, he had normal arms.
Yeah, he did.
His finisher was... pulling his opponent's arms off.
Rip their arms clean off.
Which was cool. Yeah. But in subsequent games, he had lost his arms.
So
in a poetic...
It's like somebody had given him a taste of his own
medicine.
Yeah.
That was always a bit weird, I thought. Well, it was like he got confused.
Or they just what you just described.
But I don't feel like it was delivered very well.
But like we said, it's not. You have to look for the storyline of this one.
You're saying I didn't put enough effort.
He got to read between the lines.
So Jax, yeah, he was a good character.
Kung Lao was a new character as well.
Yes, brilliant.
Hat throw in.
An odd job style. Yeah. So yet another lifted from another movie. James Bond, famous villain, odd job with the metal bowler hat.
Yeah.
He was like a ninja
scarecrow.
Scrawny. With one of them on, so he could slide. He could chop you in half.
He could teleport as well.
He had a lot going for him, didn't he? Kung Lao.
So well, so they were linked.
Interestingly, canonically, you probably know this. The original tournament is won by Liu Kang.
I was about to say that.
And the second one is won by Kung Lao.
Kung Lao, yeah.
In the canon, but I don't remember any of the others, unfortunately. No. I remember the third one, and I was less bothered by then because I was a bit older. Moved on in life to other things like Streets of Rage 3. And then, we've probably forgot some characters, I apologise, but then we also had Goro's mate, Kintaro.
Yes.
Not playable, but one of the bosses.
Much better.
He's just Goro again, though.
But I mean, in terms of what I said about earlier about Goro being a bit kind of shit, I thought Kintaro was a lot more...
Looked
well realised.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, the game looks loads better anyway.
Yeah.
Graphically, digitally, it looks sounder. And he was, yeah, he reaped the rewards of that. He was good. I like Kintaro.
And then his boss was actually rock hard. Even on the easier difficulty settings, I remember it being really challenging to defeat Shao Kahn.
Yeah, really struggled with that one. I remember...
Do you agree with me that the voice... So this... game, like all beat-em-ups, like all one-on-one beat-em-ups, starts with some bloke saying, round one, fight. Mm-hmm. And at the end he would say, flawless victory, if you defeat your opponent without being hit, or you win, or whatever he used to say. Street Fighter's guy was a bit different. He was like, he was a bit more, I don't know, like, terse. Perfect! Round one, get on with it! Shao Kahn seemed to be enjoying it a bit more. Oh, sorry, the voiceover seemed to be enjoying it a bit more. Was it meant to be that Shao Kahn was the voiceover?
I got the impression that he was overseeing the tournament.
The proceedings.
And then he was the one. And that's depicted in the film, if you remember.
Ah.
He says, finish him!
Brilliant.
When there's a scene, doesn't he?
Brilliant.
He instructs...
I thought Shao Kahn wasn't in the film. Isn't it Shang Tsung in the film?
Oh, yeah.
We'll come to it.
Can we edit that out?
Shang Tsung in the movie. Who does
Shang Tsung command to
definitely gives you a finish him.
So I guess maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking that just the boss of the game is overseeing the tournament. He's like the voice in your ear.
So in the second one, it is clearly Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
He's overseeing the second tournament. The stakes are higher or something.
Yeah.
The locations are different. It's not just in some weird Shaolin temple.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, not that weird, just pleasant Shaolin temple. It's in a really weird forest full of talking trees.
Oh, that's a great level.
And weird portals, glowing hell portals, an acid pool.
Floating people.
A floating people.
Deities.
A floating deity showcase. Lots of odd
statues of old
former fighters. Yeah, there are a lot of references, little callbacks. It all became very self-referential.
Well, like, yeah, you saw Kano and Sonya's chained up.
Struggling.
As
if they somehow got on his nerves and he was like, right, I'm pulling you. You're gone.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to chain you up.
Like a sort of weird X factor.
Yeah.
So Shao Kahn, he was hard to beat, but eventually he got the better of him.
Finally, yeah.
Him and his massive hammer that he would clobber you with.
He would just have that ability to kind of just race across the screen, couldn't he? And like shoulder charge you.
Yeah. Really difficult to block. Just hard. Oh,
really
boss.
Hard man.
Very satisfying when you knocked him off.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat 3.
Now.
Various new characters introduced again.
Different sort of feel to it as well. They added the run button, which made it a lot...
Which I really like because in that... So one of the problems with the game, not problems, but one of the tactics that is pretty difficult to combat with a K, combat, is jump, flying, jump kicks.
Yeah.
You just do a jump kick. It's pretty difficult to do.
Go-to.
In Mortal Kombat 3, you just leg it underneath, turn around, uppercut in the face. Always works.
Yeah, I think that was probably put in there to counteract some of those kind of it kind of just made it feel a bit more technical. I think this, like we talked about, kind of it being compared to like a Street Fighter 2, a bit kind of flimsier, a bit less to it. I think Mortal Kombat 3 is arguably a meatier game in terms of strategy. You could do kind
a bit of a little bit of depth. More moves, so more each moves, character still more characters, has the same core moves, but yeah. They have different special moves and they have more of them.
Yeah, more special moves and the run button, I think, as well, definitely. And those combos as well, that's the first time I had proper combos.
How do you spell combos?
With a K.
Of course.
K-O.
Combos.
M-B-O.
Yes. we forgot to mention, actually, on Mortal Kombat 2 that they introduced for the first time not just your fatality, multiple different fatalities, and also babalities.
Babality, yeah. I think
weird.
And friendships.
Gets really weird at this point.
I think they were a piss take.
The whole thing is a piss take.
He talks about the censorship of Sub-Zero's fatalities being kind of a jibe at the kind of furore that was around the game. I think friendships was definitely a response to that. Like, let's make friends then. Yeah, instead.
You could bake Baraka, you should bake him a cake.
Yeah, you should put rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah,
was Kung Lao.
Do a little paper chain.
Paper chain.
There's one where you blew a bubble with bubble gum and it pops into your face, if I remember rightly.
There was indeed.
Babalities were all the same. Everyone's was the same. It was just turn your opponent into a baby.
Didn't get that.
It would play a little weird baby sort of music box.
Didn't get what they were going for there.
Wasn't that funny?
And they all did the same one. I mean,
I suppose maybe you were supposed to think that the baby version of your... Maybe it's like a big insult. You know, like, I'm going to turn you into a little baby. But it didn't really work for me, that one.
You get to live your life again.
Yeah, in a way, you gave them the ultimate gift, didn't you, of more life? Wish somebody would do that to me. Then I can play Mortal Kombat again. But then I'd be a baby with my current knowledge.
Your current mental health state.
A really jaded baby. God, that'd be awful.
Depressed baby.
Jesus. Imagine a
washed up baby.
Imagine whoever adopted that kid. They'd have a work cut out for them.
Yeah, because you wouldn't go back to your parents, would you, necessarily?
And what would happen if you and me got... If you defeated me now in one-on-one combat, which I'm sure you would, and then decided to babality me, what would then happen tomorrow?
Well, I assume in the eyes of the law, you...
Would you become my guardian?
Yeah, you've caused the...
The babality.
The baby to occur, so you're sole responsibility for it.
In a court of law, you'd be like, well, it's not my problem if he got himself babality. No, sir, I think you'll find that you...
You babality him.
As the perpetrator of the babality, the law finds that you are now legally responsible for this infant.
Yeah.
Off you go. And I'd be a real shit then. I'd be pooing myself on purpose, crying all the time, not eating my spaghetti hoops properly.
Well, there we go. That's why you never do a babality, because you end up with a whole heap of...
family problems.
Childcare issues.
Yeah, wow. Glad we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, I've not babalitied anybody.
That I know of. I mean, arguably, you've got a baby, haven't you? So
I didn't.
Hey, hang on a minute. Is Rex your son, or did you just babality a grown man called Rex? How do can I believe you?
I mean,
I'm going to ask him.
He acts like jaded.
Yeah, a jaded old warrior.
He does.
He acts like reptile. Come back to. Whereas Mortal Kombat 3 added to this canon, this expanding repertoire of stupid finishing moves with animalities.
Yeah.
Which this time it wasn't turning your opponent, it was turning yourself into an animal to then administer a more kill. Creative fatality, I guess.
It's just weird, isn't it? When you say it out loud, it sounds really, really
shit.
Stupid.
Some of them were stupid. Like, some of them were like, oh, I've turned into a giant scorpion, stung you to death. One of them was, I've turned into a tiny, normally proportioned bird.
Yeah.
And I've grabbed you and just...
Flew away.
I can't remember.
Didn't Sub-Zero turn into a penguin that laid an egg that exploded? Was that what it is?
I hope that's true and it rings a bell.
I'm pretty sure.
Because he's icy, isn't he? So,
they were
a polar bear.
They always had context, because obviously Scorpion was a scorpion. Somebody was a horse. Was it Cabal?
I was trying to think of like a celebrity punchline for that then. Oh. John McCririck.
Was a horse, yeah.
He used to turn into a horse. Yeah, God. And brutalities were just hit them over and over
like
again.
Like a massive combo.
But for, again, hard to, probably, hard to on, nail. Probably on purpose. Mm. But when your opponent exploded into a shower of body parts,
yeah,
they didn't bother to regulate which body parts and how many. So often your normal human-shaped opponent would explode into three rib cages and four skulls and two femurs, and that's what that's roughly what a skeleton's made of.
Randomly generated skeletal bits. Yeah. Would yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So we won't bother going into the end of that game because you get the idea by now. There's some big baddie that you have to kill. Was it Shao Kahn again, or was it someone else?
You sound pissed off.
Can't remember. I don't know. I feel like the franchise started its downward curve. But
I feel like this is not going into the Hall of Pain here.
We'll see. I'll be happy with the judge.
You sound a lot more enthusiastic when you talk with Liam about something that's good.
I mean, no, please don't get me wrong. Mortal Kombat is great. I just think that it starts to go on a downward slope at this point. It gets progressively worse.
Shitter.
Although I should say Mortal Kombat 3 features my favourite fatality.
I thought we were saving that till the end.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, it's good. That'll keep them hooked. If anyone's still listening, that's sure to get them to hold out for the next 3 hours. I reckon we've got 3 hours left to go.
I think it features mine as well, by the way. Ooh, there's a little...
I wonder if it's the same one.
I don't think it is, because I don't know what yours is going to be.
Ooh, maybe we could guess each other's.
Okay.
I reckon I can guess yours. Okay, that's the game. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to guess each other's favourite Mortal Kombat 3 fatalities. One exclusive we've got. One final flourish of the series before it officially enters the doldrums from Mortal Kombat 4 onwards.
Yes.
At least until recent times. Was the movie in 1995.
Classic, yeah. Really good.
Starring, we've touched on Christopher Lambert already. Also stars Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa as Shang Tsung. But like a young, kind of handsome one he was, wasn't he? Not the old, decrepit old man of the original.
What a young Harry Shigekazawa.
Shapeshifter, isn't he? Who knows how old he is in real life. So we got the music. You remember the Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Really, really good. Really good tune. Top tune.
Definitely going to put that on at the end of the show.
I can't wait to hear this back.
We got loads of other actors and actresses you've never heard of. And a very Australian Kano.
This is where your love affair with Kano started, isn't it?
I think, I feel like I've always been a fan.
But I think it's really cemented with when he made fans like Australian.
I can't remember any of his lines from the movie, though. What I do know is that in the new game, in Mortal Kombat 11, they've got this thing now where the characters talk trash to each other at the start, and he's doing the round one fight. Yeah. They say a bit of stuff, and it's kind of relevant to who the other characters
are. So who you pair up with.
But Kano doesn't seem to care about who he's paired up with. He's just not bothering to engage with them. He's just turning his back to the camera, having a wee. Disrespectfully having a wee. Urinating before the fight because he's such a lad. Isn't he?
When he got to go, he got to go, I suppose.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. He's looking after his bladder. He's getting old, isn't he?
He's going to, yeah.
Old Kano. And the new game's got this weird time slip element where Kano looks like an ageing... you know, bloke.
Yep.
But then young Kano harks back to Mortal Kombat 3 era and is bald, really skinhead bald, and looks like Jonjo Shelby. but better behaved. More of a gentleman.
Better at football.
Yeah, better at football. Very good. Better at free kicks. So, the movie. Any lasting memories from Mortal Kombat, the movie?
I remember...
they tried to weave in all the feuds, didn't they? So, like, Kano and Blade, they fought each other. But weirdly, they made Sub-Zero and Scorpion
mates. Yeah, they were
completely
like...
Completely blurry. Yeah. And Johnny Cage had to knock off Scorpion. And as I recall, lobs an autographed picture of himself down... onto Scorpion's dead body.
Yeah, it wasn't that his friendship or his fatality, did it?
He
did an autograph picture. Just referencing
his aforementioned big-headedness.
But did the film come before Mortal Kombat 2 or after Mortal Kombat 2? After Mortal Kombat.
Definitely after Mortal Kombat 2.
So that references his friendship from the game, then?
Yeah, very good. Meta. It was basically what we're saying is it's the best movie ever made.
It sounds like they put a lot of thought into it, doesn't it? It sounds like if...
I think they did.
I remember the end.
Oh, go on. I don't remember the end. What happened at the end?
Shao Kahn appears.
Keep going. Help me out.
That's it. I'll still remember. Do you remember he like bursts through and he's like...
Well, it's like a to be continued... Yeah. Dot question mark.
Do you remember that?
Nope. All I remember is it wasn't very good.
Yeah, Shao Kahn definitely appears at the end.
And it had a great song. That's all I remember.
And he's massive. He's like in the sky.
Oh.
No?
Did that happen? I'm having it. I'm taking it. And I'm going to watch it again. As I arguably should have done before recording this episode.
Edit this shit out immediately.
So then the move. Oh, sorry. There is one final thing we should reference about the series before we move on to its more recent incarnations. Very, very important.
Before we skate over
anymore. Before we gloss over and end this as quickly as possible. Which is, in Mortal Kombat 2, if you uppercutted or roundhouse kicked your opponent in their sorry chops,
yeah,
it would give you a really meaty, you know, kind of punch sound effect. But occasionally, if you were lucky, you would get a little bloke would pop in and shout, "Toasty!" Yes, he would. Well done, thank you. I've no idea why that would happen.
No, I assumed he was part of the like creative team or development team or something. He got his kind of...
They were just mucking about.
Yeah.
I think they were just mucking about. But it didn't happen. It wasn't like a very rare Easter egg.
No.
It happened
a lot.
I don't know, like 50% of the matches.
But it felt great when he did it.
Yeah.
Especially if you did it like you caught somebody flush.
It really felt like a bunch of nerds messing about that game. Like really silly, loads of little silly bits like that in it. Toasty! But,
look, again... Look, there's the film that you see.
Oh, go on, should we put the sound on?
Hang on.
So Raiden is standing above a throng of celebrating, I don't know, I guess mortals.
It's not really...
any good.
Loading for some reason.
No, it is, there we go. So it ends with Shao Kahn saying,
and he's massive.
We pathetic fools. And then Christopher Lambert gives him the, "I don't think so.
I have come for your souls."
Wow. It did spawn a sequel, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which was released in 1997. My notes just say, shit sequel in 1997. That's all I've got, I'm afraid.
Not seen it. It wasn't part of my pitch. So
Skippable. And then, basically the best part of two decades of garbage sequels and spin-offs. Would you agree with that?
Well, there was one game that I played in the meantime, which was... one of the spin-offs was... They went down the route of having like a scrolling beat-em-up style game. There was a couple, I think, like...
like Streets of Rage.
Mortal Kombat Mythologies.
All right,
Came out early doors.
Any good?
So there's a couple of spin-offs, like Mortal Kombat Mythologies Sub-Zero... in 1997.
Like he was the main character.
Yeah, he was. It was like a scrolling, like a Streets of Rage almost kind of 2D scrolling beat 'em up game, which was awful. Mortal Kombat Special Forces, again, was a similar thing, which had Jax as the main character.
Okay, all right. Slightly feels like some weird characters to pick, maybe. But I don't know. I suppose they're both quite well loved, aren't they? Yeah, popular characters.
I guess
Jax
looks the part.
Yeah, he looks hard. Like a big American action hero. Did he have metal arms at this point?
So I didn't really play either of those two. But the one I did play was called Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, which was on the original Xbox, PlayStation 2, had the Xbox version. And that was more of a 3D kind of scrolling beat-em-up featuring Liu Kang and Kung Lao, the first two winners of the Mortal Kombat tournaments.
See, that's who I would have picked. I think they deserve it, don't they? You know?
And they kind of meet the characters as they go along. There's a bit of kind of one-on-one fighting goes on, then you kind of scroll through. It was good. It wasn't bad.
So it
a solid kind of
6-7 out of 10 because this happens a lot, right? And I think I might have moaned about this on the podcast before, is, and I'm guilty of it, so I'm a hypocrite, that sort of consensus memory that things were rubbish when in reality individual people never played them or even did experience them and liked them. So an example would be Silent Hill. We've done an episode on the Silent Hill series. Everyone basically says, oh, everything after Silent Hill 3 was rubbish. Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think there are lots of high points subsequent to that. Silent Hill 4, I think, was very good. Silent Hill Shattered Memories. And I think there are a lot of franchises that suffer from this, where decent quality sequels are sort of written off by history because
It's hard when you set a high standard, I suppose. And I think it's hard to keep anything going for 11 plus iterations. That's the problem, yeah, isn't it? Unless correct. It's FIFA, which gets just incrementally better every time because they just sort of refine it slightly.
And of course it smacks of shameless cash-ins. And, you know, as soon as you're up to the seventh iteration of anything, you're just expecting it to be bad. But it's just this, there is this habit, I think, of people to say things are rubbish because everyone else says they're rubbish. So generally society has learned these things are rubbish when actually maybe you should give them a chance. So I'm going to play Mortal Kombat, Cheryl in Monks.
Good, it's good.
And that is a lie.
It's not bad. It's not bad. We didn't mention Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 either. Sorry to go back to the original trilogy.
Is that, what, like a lob them all together?
It just had more characters. It came out a year later, or even less than a year later.
I don't think I ever got who was in that.
That had Robot Smoke.
Yes, Cyber Smoke.
Cyber
Smoke. Cyber Lin Kuei were introduced to it.
And it had
Robotic.
It had
Shenanigans was introduced in Mortal Kombat 3. We had Cyrax, Sector, it's like Sector but with a K. Sector.
Shiva, was she? Or she?
No, she was in the normal one, I think. But maybe I had the Ultimate one and didn't know how Ultimate it was.
I can't remember off the top of my head the difference.
So, jump forward a few years.
Yes.
And we have what is generally regarded as the revitalization.
Rain was an old Mortal Kombat 3. Did you have Rain in your game?
I got some version of it that was called like Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
Okay.
And Rain PlayStation was in version. That. Yeah. Rain was in that. Glitchy as hell.
So I think
basically broken. I think loads of bugs and
the cast list might be very similar between Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 on the Mega Drive and
Mortal Kombat Trilogy.
Mortal Kombat
Trilogy. Rain was yet another ninja. A purple one.
Purple ninja, yeah. Purple one. Ermac as well.
A red one.
Kind of orangey red, yeah.
Red. What we say, like Umba.
Umba.
Umba. Like ninja. A terracotta ninja.
A terracotta ninja warrior.
How many colours did they go through in the end? Blue one, yellow one, green one. Terracotta one, purple one,
grey one,
smoke,
shadow,
noob, cyber, noob. Seven. That's seven. They really did. They ever have a brown one called like Plop or something? Plop wins.
Todd
wins because we know Bob Mortimer's probably listening to this. So I've been itching to move us on. As you can tell,
stop. Please stop talking.
Please listen. To Mortal Kombat 2011, sometimes known as Mortal Kombat 9,
yes,
which is generally viewed as a revitalization of the franchise.
I had on the PlayStation 3, downloaded it from the PlayStation Network, and when I downloaded it, the download file was called Mortal Kombat 9.
That is interesting.
But there was no other reference to that in its...
Bit like in our recent podcast, we talked about Halloween series, and Halloween 6 is sometimes called Halloween 6, sometimes called Halloween The Curse of Michael Myers.
I've not it. Listen to that episode. So,
or watch that terrible film.
Or watch the film.
I wouldn't recommend neither.
So I knew it was a 9th installment, and that was kind of the first one I bought since
I feel like it lived up to its hype that it was this big reboot, this big return really to form. Good. It felt really like a big strong budget, really fun to play. The characters felt different this time, so it was more variety. Fatalities were funny. I think the stages looked amazing.
Considered kind of like a stunning return to form.
And there were some great innovations in there, like the aforementioned crypt with a K.
Yeah.
You could accrue currency by achieving things in the game, which encourage you to then play the different modes, like single player challenges, challenge modes, all these sorts of things.
A lot of replayability.
A lot of replayability. You can then spend the money, the coins in the crypt.
Yeah, that's where the coins came from.
Unlock cool sort of concept art, new fatalities, different costumes. The whole thing just felt really, a really little self-contained, ace fun game.
Some of them caskets in the crypt had nothing in though.
Is that right? empty caskets.
I don't know why I said it like that, but
caskets with a K.
It was, yeah.
Well, that's probably why.
And I think it was coffin with a K.
Coffins.
Coffins with a K, crypt with a K. Use coins with a K to open them up. And inside, you get artwork. You get...
Concept art with a K. Honestly, I think it was.
What else would you get?
Loads of crap.
Yeah, and some of them were empty.
So it's good.
It let a little laugh when you went to them.
You just spent all your coins on nothing.
So then Mortal Kombat 10 came out. This was the first one that tried to do... I liked this, right? It tried to do a... Time's moved on. Johnny Cage is getting on a bit. He's got grey hair. Sonya Blade's been promoted. She's like a grizzled veteran now. Some of the characters have got kids. I thought that was quite cool that they did that. Like, Jax has got a daughter called...
With metal arms.
He's also got... She's inherited his metal arms. Oh, yeah. Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade have a kid, don't they? Called Cassie Cage. Yeah.
How do they
Not get... with Cage.
How do they get together?
I think he wears her down over time. She sort of, I don't know.
Did they meet?
Go on, you'll do.
Did they meet at the tournament?
I think they were battering, pummeling each other, and then their eyes met just when he was uppercutting her head off, and they realised they were in love.
When he didn't punch her in the groin.
But you weren't allowed to, were you? Exactly, because she doesn't have a groin, because she's a woman. As everyone knows, women don't have groins.
That's why she's the best character to play as, because she
can evade the Johnny Cage's splits punch. He would do the splits,
yeah.
But before punching her in the balls, he would just realise she didn't have any balls and just not do the punch.
Yeah,
so he just did the splits. Yeah. Just do the splits for no reason. Fascinating
stuff. So maybe that's where their love blossomed, because he didn't punch her in the crotch.
Yeah, like a nice moment.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, chivalry's not dead. Chivalry with a K. Then Mortal Kombat 11 came out. It's decent. Get it if you can be bothered. If you've not had enough by now, get Mortal Kombat 11. It's got some good stuff in it. Some funny fatalities, actually. Which leads me on to Hayden. I think your favourite fatality in Mortal Kombat 3 and the whole series is the one where Cyber Smoke.
Oh, this is what I was going to say for you.
This is funny. Launches a load of bombs at
it.
Cut to a long distance shot of the world, which rumbles. The whole earth wobbles and then blows up.
That's insane. That's exactly what I was going to say. Blows
the world, kills it, killing himself, other participant in the tournament, and every human and everyone. Yeah. All the stakes that they're fighting for, the future of the world is blown up. And then it goes, fatality. Smoke wins.
I was sure that would be your favourite. I can't believe that's the one that you picked for me.
Well, what?
But that's not my favourite.
Tell me what your favourite is, then.
My favourite is when Liu Kang summons a Mortal Kombat 2 arcade machine and drops it on his opponent's head.
Splat! Crushed beneath the Mortal Kombat. That's how I want to go. One day.
Referencing the game in the game, thought it was quite clever.
Brilliant.
But not the game they're playing, the last iteration.
The last and much better game. My favourite, which is a real anti-climax now, is I always just enjoyed the... Imagine you didn't know this was going to happen and you saw this for the first time. So it's Kano. He makes his big comeback. He's in his John Joe Shelby style gear. And you expect him to do his heart pull. He's like, no. I've been working on it. I've got something better.
Oh, I got something better for you. Feast your eyes on this. Have a look at this.
He would reach into his opponent's
mouth.
Gob and pull their entire skeleton out.
Hold.
And as I recall, he would then point at it proudly.
As if he's holding it,
showcasing what he's done.
It's stuck together and their skin would just
flop, blob to the floor.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's probably the most impressive. Well, actually, no, freezing somebody to death is probably the most impressive, isn't it?
Well, I would not like to argue with Kano.
No.
Because he is unpredictable. A wild card at best.
I can't believe we both pinned that smoke fatality on each other and then no one claimed it.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Maybe that is the best one then.
Yeah. By common consensus.
Because he ends the world.
So all that remains is for me to decide whether...
to publish this podcast.
Whether to delete this entire recording. And then subsequently to decide whether, like everything else that we've ever had on this show ever, Mortal Kombat... is permitted entry into the... I'm going to do it in Kano style.
The Hall of Pain!
Oh, ha.
Excellent.
Have to summarise, or are we not even going to bother doing that?
Give us a summary of your pitch for Mortal Kombat.
So,
we've kind of highlighted its downfalls as being a kind of long winded series with lots and lots of shit games in it. However, if you take the core three games and arguably the film, and then what they're doing now in the last three games, I think there's enough there, if you scrape it all together, to create enough dark mythology, mainly around the fatalities, if I'm honest, to put it in the halls of pain. I also think that I like that concept of how it kind of would spread around the playgrounds. So it's kind of its time. Remember he talks about Slenderman being of its time, very much like it was born on the internet, but died on the internet. I think Mortal Kombat's lore mythology was born on the playgrounds. And as a 10-year-old, when it started, to whenever Mortal Kombat 3 came out, 15-year-old, I guess, it was prime time for that lore for me. So I wanted to go in.
Well, I am delighted to announce that Mortal Kombat, of course, has been granted entry. I've quickly consulted Liam. I had him on in the background. He's been listening in all along. In fact, he's here. He's outside your window. He's right there.
I did wonder what that was.
You thought that was Kano. In fact, it's Liam. And we've agreed that Mortal Kombat is absolutely...
Why is he doing the thumbs down sign then?
Ignore that. That's how he expresses...
That means yes.
Love. That means yes when Liam does that. Why is he pulling someone's skeleton out? That's a different question. Maybe we should go and intervene. No, it's too late.
Skeleton's out now.
Skeleton's gone. Oh well, too late now.
The skeleton's out of the...
Cat's out of the skeleton.
Corpse.
So, yeah, it's in. Great game, great franchise. Those early entries were the stuff of legend.
Yeah.
We all played them, we all loved them. And the new game's pretty good as well. And the film is an unintentional, or maybe intentional, I don't know, comedy masterpiece that must be seen. And we will close out today's episode with its remarkable theme tune, if that's okay.
Excellent.
Thank you, Hayden, for standing in. You'll be very welcome back on a future show, should you ever
watch anything ever again.
Should you ever have any interests other than Mortal Kombat and whatever else it is you do.
I'll get to work on interesting
things. I should get to work.
Do some work.
And we will see you all. Well, we won't see you, will we? That's a silly thing to say. We can't see you. You can't see us. This is a purely vocal medium.
And so even then, you won't be able to hear them.
You will hear us next time.
There we go.
For more Dark Natter. Nice work. Thank you for joining us once again for a surprisingly long episode about Mortal Kombat. Hope you enjoyed it. As usual, please hit us up on Twitter at @dark_natter, Instagram at @darknatterpodcast, or email us at darknatterpodcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, we'd really appreciate it if you'd give us a 5-star review. Helps with our ratings and visibility and whatnot. And if you didn't like the show, just give us a 5-star review anyway. That would be great. A huge thank you once again to Hayden for standing in for Liam. Liam will be back soon for our next episode in a couple of weeks' time. So we will speak to you all then. Goodbye.